want to give you just a simple thought from my heart tonight. I know I'm a donkey at the Kentucky Derby when I get behind this pulpit. I understand that, and I'm at ease with that. It used to bother me, but I've got what I've got, and hallelujah to God. I'm grateful I've got it. Amen. My soul, I give up trying to be somebody else. God didn't call me to be somebody. He's called me to be me. Amen. And I struggled with that for a long time, but what I've got is just a message from my heart tonight, and it's familiar scripture. My goodness, I know your pastor's probably preached this to you, but it's in the 2 Samuel chapter number 9. And it's very familiar, and it's the story of Mephibosheth, and y'all know that probably better than I could ever tell you. But I want to give you something tonight that I hope will be a help to you. And you pray for me. Pray for my family. My mom and dad, boy, they could use your prayers. They're going through it. They're going through a tough time right now. But the main thing is, don't give up. That was one thing. I've always been dumb as a box of rocks on things like that. And it's really paid off in my Christian walk, because it'd be late in the fourth quarter, Brother Mike, and we'd be down 37 points, and they'd be 20 seconds left on the clock. Man, I wouldn't give up. Amen. I was holding out. I wanted to get something done, even if I just had just a little time. And folks, we're in the last days, and we really need to be. Don't give up now. It just looks grim. Amen. It's going to get a whole lot better for saved children of God. It's going to get a whole lot better. Amen. For them, if you're lost and undone without God, this is the best it'll ever be for you. Amen. The best it'll ever be. Amen. So you enjoy this. Amen. If you leave this world lost and undone without God, I hope you've had a good time, because where you're going, you won't have a lick of fun. Amen. But in the second Samuel chapter number 9, I want to give you just a little thought right here. If you'd find your place right there, I believe everybody's quit turning. Man, I've been catching on, Brother Mike. I've been listening to CDs. Amen. Can I say this before y'all stand on your feet? Brother Mike, has he ever told you anything about Percy Ray in the pulpit here? If he has, all right, hey, he let me borrow that biography of Percy Ray, or autobiography. Somebody else wrote it. I don't know what that would be. I'm not that smart. But anyway, it's a book about him, wrote by somebody else. So whatever that is, you can tell me after a while. But you read about all these men of God that's prayed, and I say this from a sincere heart and honest right here before you and before God. I believe that if time stands, I believe you've got one of the greatest men of God in this county. And I don't say that without reserve. And hallelujah to God. You can put that on the CD and send it to anybody, and I'll stand behind that. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And you folks cherish him and love him. I mean that with all my heart. And Brother Mike, that's $20, right? Was that okay? Y'all know better than that. I wouldn't say it for less than 50. Amen? No, but I do. I love your pastor. And if you'll read that book and listen to what he tells you, I tell you what, my soul, God's give him insight into that book. Amen. Hallelujah. What a glorious touch of God on him. And I do. I really appreciate the ministry that y'all put out in those CDs. And I listen to those things, and my goodness, I hand them back out, and I listen to them. And sometimes you'll get the same one back somewhere. I'll be somewhere and somebody will hand you one back. Amen. And I mean, it's amazing if you'll get out in this county, and I see people, I don't even know who it was, I've seen people at stock sale handing those things out one day. And run into a lady up at Lowe's Food up there the other day, and she had one, and she thought it was contraband. Amen. She said, she asked my wife, said, "Did you get one of these?" And honestly, man, that's a glorious ministry, folks, and I thank you for that. I do. I'm not saying that to do anything but to encourage you, that keep that up. Those things are doing wonders in this county and out of this county. But in 2 Samuel 9 chapter, if you'd stand to your feet just for a minute, I'm gonna read you just a few verses of scripture, and you pray for me, and I'll be as quick as I can. I want to give you just a few thoughts about Mephibosheth and how he got to where he was at and how he got back. Amen. That's just basically the gist of every story in this Bible. Somebody was somewhere and they needed to be somewhere else. Amen. And there was a common thing that got them there. It's complicated, but it's really not that complicated. If you'll read, the Bible says in the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel, and David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. And then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him if he would touch me, because, boy, I sure do need a touch. You can take your seat. I'm going to give you just a few things. Like I said, I know it's Sunday evening. Y'all folks have been to church, and you've been out to eat, and you've been doing all kinds of things. And probably you're about ready to get back to the house, but this is... space of time, 100 years from now, you won't even remember you was here. Amen. What you put aside to be here tonight, if it can't be done tomorrow, you didn't really need to do it anyway. Amen. If you want to get right down to it, but David here, he's come in and he's wanting to extend some kindness to somebody, and he's wanting to show his love, and he's wanting to show that he doesn't hold a grudge. Amen. What a blessing that is. We've got a God that doesn't hold a grudge. Isn't that? I tell you what, because if God held a grudge, children, I would not be here today. I can tell you that for a fact. If God held a grudge, amen, there wouldn't anybody be in this building, because we've all at one time been sinners, exiled from the grace of God, and rightfully, if God held a judge, nobody would be in here tonight. But David said, Is there any that I can show my kindness to? And he called a servant, Ziba. And Ziba said, Well, there's one left, and it's Jonathan's son, and he's crippled. He's lame on his feet. And I looked that word up, lame, and that's exactly what it means. It means disabled or crippled, especially in the legs or feet, so as to impair free movement. Now, I think that before we get anywhere with God, we got to understand we can't go anywhere. Amen? But hey, before we can get anything from God, you've got to understand that your plan you made, your actions you're going to take, the things you're going to do, are not going to please God. You're going to have to wait till God sees your condition and He calls you. Then you can come, because children, we're all spiritually lame. We cannot get to God unless He first comes to us. I'll tell you what, I see people trying to make plans, and I remember when we was playing football, before you did a play, amen, you made a huddle. You got everybody on the same page. Hey, this is what we're going to do, and I believe in your heart. Hey, some people in this building that's been making a plan, they got a specific thing they're waiting on. They got a certain day, hey, when this and does this and that and does that, and they sing that certain song, that's going to be my day. Hey, let me tell you something, amen. If God would call you, today is your day. Yeah. Hey, man, you don't have to wait. Right. You throw your plan away, children, and listen to God. Throw your plan out the window and listen to God. But instead, he was lame, and the politically correct world we live in, we don't say words anymore. I remember when people that had a physical disability, I remember when they called them crippled. Uh-huh. Amen. Do you remember that? Well, crippled was the definition of crippled is one who is partially disabled, something flawed or imperfect. Now, we don't like that word. Well, I don't like crippled. Give me another one. Amen. So we went to handicapped. And handicapped is any disadvantage that makes achievement unusually difficult. Now, that's better than imperfect, ain't it? Right, yeah. Amen. You see how the devil will talk you out of things? Yeah. Hey, you see how he'll give you some words, amen, and throw some stuff out to you and get you off the track. When God's told you you're lost, children, you can tell yourself anything you want to tell it. You can try to make it sound as good as you want to make it. But what it means is you're crippled and you can't get to God. Amen. You're crippled and you can't get to God. Now, you can make it sound as good as you want it to, but that's the truth. So we went to physically challenged. Yeah. In my lifetime, people, I'm 41 years old, and in my lifetime, I saw these three changes take place. I remember when I was little, people was crippled, and then they were handicapped. Then they didn't like handicapped, so now we're physically challenged. You know what physically challenged is? Now listen to this. I like this. Saddle Webster's Dictionary. Physically is related to the body. You would know that. And challenge is to take exception to. Amen. To take exception to dispute, amen, to summon defiantly to a contest. So children, have you got to the point where you're going to challenge God about your salvation? Amen. Hey, man, have you got to that point Or that you think you can challenge God, the sovereign God of this world that stood on nothing and spoke everything into existence, and you would deny that He does not know the condition of your soul? You would deny, you would stand there and tell God today that you're not crippled, you're just handicapped, and then when handicap settles in, you say, no, I'm not handicapped. I'm disabled. I'm physically challenged. You know what those words are in the Baptist church today? They're out of the will of God. Hey, let me get back up here and say this. We need to hear this. We always say they're out of the will of God. Well, that would be crippled. They're out of the will of God. You know what lame would be? Lame would be out in the world. Out in the world. And my favorite one's the dreaded physically handicapped. Backslid. Yes, sir. Now, I'm a firm believer that your preacher does not preach to you these doctrines. I believe that people can get sideways on God. Do not ever think that I'm telling you any different. I know that I've been at times when I couldn't get in touch with God like I need to. But I'll tell you what, if you're living the same way you live after you said you met the Jesus I met, I don't believe there's a word of truth in that profession. I don't believe, bless God, it lines up with this Bible. And I don't believe it lines up with the Spirit that's in me. And I believe, bless God, God wouldn't mind if I said that was a lie. And the truth ain't in it. But boy, we'll take things all out of whack. We'll get these words and we'll use these words, and we don't want to be called lost. It sounds a whole lot better to be called out of the will of God. It sounds a whole lot better to be called out in the world. And bless God, when all else fails, we say we backslid a little. Let me tell you something, children. If you'll look that word backslid up, it's used in the Bible to directly describe the condition of the nation of Israel. Directly used to describe the nation of Israel. And what did Jesus Christ say when He came? He said, I am sent not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we're using words we don't really even understand. They don't describe a born again child of God. They describe a Jewish nation that's still over there waiting for the birth of the Messiah. Hallelujah to God. They describe some people still locked up in Judaism, and they can't get with God. They're crippled and they don't know it. Hey, God ain't told them yet, amen. Or God's told them and they've turned a deaf ear to it. But we use these words to describe ourselves. Church, hey, you listen to me. We use those words to describe ourselves, and we use those words to describe our family members. Because not only do we want to admit that we are crippled, we don't want to admit our mamas and our daddies and our grandmas and our grandpas and our children and our aunts and our uncles are crippled and they're exiled from God because they're lost in sin and they're on their way to a devil's hell. It sounds a whole lot better to say they're out of the will of God. You're telling the truth when you said that one, brother. You're telling the truth. I thank God that Mephibosheth was crippled. I'm moving on. You say, well, glory. Somebody can say it. It's all right. I know that ain't very popular, but it's the truth, children. Hallelujah to God. It's the truth. We live in a liberal society today. Joel Osteen would want me to tell you that you can be better than yourself today. I'm telling you, there's nothing good in any of us outside of Jesus Christ. I don't care what he says. He's a liar too. Amen. Send him a tape. Send him a tape. Hallelujah to God. He's sending hordes and thousands of people to hell. And everybody's out there smiling, thinking they're good within their self. And they're not. There's none good. No, not one. No, not one. Hallelujah to God. Mephibosheth, though, he was just crippled. And I want to give you just a little bit. I'm about done, believe it or not. About just being crippled. What's wrong with being crippled? Man, I got saved when I was crippled. Hey, God don't hold being crippled against you. Hallelujah to God. I've been where Mephibosheth was at. I'm glad when God come to me. The children, I'd already made a profession. I'd already, man, these liberals that tell you that you can get saved by saying a prayer. I said a prayer. I asked God to save me. I did that, and I was still lost and undone without God. I did that. I know it don't work. And I'm going to tell you what, you'd be surprised, the preachers in this county. In this county, I sat on the front pew of the church up our brother Mike, where I pastor, and I look like a deer in the headlight. Hallelujah to God. He was talking about these getting saved and these getting saved. And I said, well, I like to call that a profession of faith. That's what I call that. I don't put no pressure on you folks. You come up here to this altar and say God saved you. All I know is He saved you. Till your actions and your fruit prove that different. That's everything in the world. Your old pastor told me one time, hey, bless God, when a man gets saved, he'll carry a bowl of pudding. He said the proof will be in the pudding. Amen. Yes, sir. Man, I've held on to that. That'll help you, church, with your family members if you'll hold on to that. That'll help you be able to pray for the ones that's in and the ones that's out. That'll help you to be able to pray for the ones that's crippled and the ones that think they're exiled and they're just lame and they're all these other things. What, they are lost? We don't even want to tell them that anymore. Isn't that amazing? Nobody had to come and tell Mephibosheth he was crippled. I'll ask you a question. Why did they not have to tell this boy he was crippled? Why did they not have to tell him? Because he had laid in that condition so long. He was so sick of being in Lodabar. That verse of scripture over there, I believe it's in Luke, where the 90 and the 9 are there, and they lose one, and he goes out, and the shepherd finds that, and he says, what does he do? He puts it on his shoulders, and he goes back, and he rejoices. I tell you, when somebody gets lost, they start making a different sound. Amen. Boy, I believe when that little sheep got out there and got lost, it got to baying a little different. And God got to hearing that. He said they're getting something. Hallelujah to God. They're starting to understand that it's crippling. They're starting to understand that what they've got ain't real. That it's got them crippled and exiled from God. Didn't nobody have to go tell Mephibosheth he's crippled? He could look and see. Yes, sir. He could look and see. Can you not look and see, children, that some people around you are crippled? Can you not look and see with your eyes what kind of debilitating effect that sin has had on their life? It's got them where they can't even move. They've been defying God for so long. They've been arguing with Him for so long. They've been saying, God, it ain't this. It's got to be that. And when God proves that wrong, they go to something else. And when God proves that wrong, they'll go to something else. And they're going to keep on going. The devil will never let you run out of excuses to be saved. Amen. He'll never. Amen. You'll draw your last breath on this planet Earth and drop off in hell with an excuse on your lips. He will never let you run out of excuses. Never, ever, ever. Because He's been doing this a long, long time. When I think about old Mephibosheth laying there, he sees he's crippled and he knows he can't go nowhere. What a joyful sound that was to hear the king's chariot coming down the street. What a glorious sound that was. And you know what? I think the first thing that came to his mind was the same thing that comes to some of your minds. What have I done? You ain't done nothing. You've just been making a different sound lately. Hey, you ain't done a thing wrong. You've been doing everything right. Hallelujah to God. When God comes to a man, woman, boy, or girl, it ain't because they've did wrong. It's because they've did right. They've started accepting the light of God, and they've started accepting the things of God, and they've started to understand that or ain't lining up with what's in that book. And I'll tell you what, you start making a different sound and you don't even know it. God recognizes that. He sends the chariot. He sends the Holy Ghost of God. He sends somebody. And I'll tell you, you ever heard anybody when they got saved? This is part of my testimony. I was sitting about where you was, our brother Wesley, and I didn't want to get out of that seat, but I couldn't stay, amen. It wasn't me anymore. When I realized I was crippled, God sent the chariot, hallelujah to God. When I realized I was crippled, God said, I'm going to leave thee. I'm going to go get that one back yonder. And you know why? That you don't remember taking those else to the altar. It's because the Son of God carried you on His back and laid you at a place. That's why you don't remember. Woo! That might not make you happy, but that excites the bejeebies out of me. Yes, children. And that's why you don't remember those steps. No, Mephibosheth. My soul, man, he could have cared less when he got to the king's house if he's crippled or not. He is there. Hallelujah to God. Children, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't worried about the rest of the journey. While my God, my heart's God's got me this far, He'll get me the rest of the way. Amen. Man, I don't doubt my Savior. There's times I've doubted Clayton, and there's times I'll spend the rest of the night down Mr.
a message that I had tonight, wondering if it was the right one, wondering if I did right. Satan will come to me and he'll tell me, oh son, you made a mess out of that. You should have said this or you should have said that. I'll tell him to hush. I did what God told me to do, and I know he's got his foot on Satan's throat and that he'll choke him down if we'll only pray.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm confident. Man, something happened to me one day, folks. I don't know if it's ever happened to you or not. Hallelujah to God. There's something happened to me. I ain't got over it yet. Man alive, when Jesus sent the chariot for me, my soul, there I said, I was already a church member. Man alive, I'd already made my profession. Man, let me tell you something. You don't think Satan wasn't giving me some excuses not to go? Hallelujah to God. He said, no, son, it's all right. You said that little prayer down there on your couch beside your knees. You did that. You know that's all you have to do. And I thought, I got to stand. Boy, bless God, if that's all I got to do, I don't know what's wrong with me then. And then I got over that one. And then he said, you can't go to that altar. You're already in the church.
Uh-huh.
You can't go. They'll talk about you. They'll talk about you, boy. What in the world? What in the world? Why would you want to go to that altar and mess up the deal you got? The deal I had was nothing. The deal I had was nothing. Satan trying to make you think it's something. He'll try to make you think that what you've got's great. Finally, Brother Wesley, I sat there and I don't know what in the world Brother Kenny preached that morning. I ain't got a clue. You say, well, that ain't much of a testimony. Man, I wasn't listening to him. This thing got far bigger than the preacher for me. Amen. It wasn't a preacher. It was the preacher. Yes, sir, children. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, if God gets you anything tonight, it'll be because he shoved it out of the window of heaven and dropped it right in your lap. It won't be because I took a shower and put a suit on and come down here, bless God. It'll be because God decided that you was making a sound like you needed some help, and he just shoved it right out in your lap.
Amen.
Now, you got the opportunity to push that thing out on the floor or run with it. Run with it. But I'll tell you what, I didn't want to go to the altar. Honestly, I didn't. My soul, my heart, honest with you right now today, I was so proud. And I bought into that stuff. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to make fun of me. And he's always saying, you've already did that other thing. You've did those other things. Well, if you leave out the first part, the other things ain't worth nothing. Hey, if you miss Jesus, you can get baptized all you want to. You can attend church all you want to. You can join every church in the county. And when you leave this planet in death, you will open your eyes in hell without Jesus. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. And when I recognized that, Brother Wesley, when I recognized that, man, I thought it was my heart, man, but it got louder and louder and louder. And I thought, what in the world is going on in this building? And all of a sudden, I stood up, and I wanted to sit down, but I couldn't, amen. There was something there, amen. God had got so real and so good and so precious that all of a sudden, I didn't care what anybody else thought. And I didn't care what anybody else said. And I didn't want to die and go to hell. And I said, I'll tell you what, if I just had a ride, I'd go, hey, man. Didn't even have to walk on my own. Holy Ghost of God come three rows back and got me.
Glory to God.
Hey, I was about 300 pounds then. He didn't even grunt. Yes, sir. Jerked me right up out of there. And man alive, you talk about giving in. Man, you talk about feeling happy. You talk about something going on. Man alive, I sat there under the condemnation of God, and I sat there under that, and I thought, my soul, I can't make it another step. I can't make it. And all of a sudden, Satan would come by, and he'd give you a little shot of adrenaline, and you'd through the next line of the song, and you'd get to tearing, and you'd get to crying, and God loving on you, and you'd say, I can't make it any longer. I gotta go. Satan would come by and give you a little shot of a lie, amen. And you start thinking that you can make it. Children, you can't. When God crushes you down under the load, You can't carry it because you're crippled already. You're crippled already. God loves you, children. And God wants to get you back to the house. Hey, he don't want you to be exiled. He don't want you to be in a place where you just got to lay around and look at what's wrong with you. Ain't you tired of looking at that sin? I mean, really, don't something sink in sometimes and say, man, it shouldn't be like this. I mean, honestly, folks, doesn't something sink in and say, it shouldn't be like this? And you lay there in that same condition day after day. And if you make it one day, you can better bet Satan will give you another one. And if you make it that day, you better bet he'll give you another one. And before you know it, days has turned into weeks, and then weeks turns into months, and months turns into years, and your hair starts to get gray, and your eyesight starts to get dim, and the things that Preacher Mike gets in the pulpit and says in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, all of a sudden they don't seem to stir you like they one time did. Why? Because you grow colder, and you go colder, and you go colder, and Satan builds up a wall of defense, and he will absolutely laugh and excuse you right into hell.
Amen.
Don't let him do that tonight, children. You mind God. If you hear the chariot come by, get on. Get on. It ain't up to you. Throw your plan out the window. Don't be handicapped. Don't be impaired. Just be crippled. Being crippled is one of the glorious states that a child of God can ever be in. Because until you've been crippled, you can't get fixed.
Amen.
Nobody wants to be that. You and your wife ever argue about the car keys? Amen. You do it and you don't even know it. It's just built into your everyday life. Amen. You go in there and you say, honey, where's the car keys at? She says, I don't know. She said, you had them last. I said, no, I didn't. Well, if she don't know and I don't know, them car keys is lost. But no, we ain't lost them. We've just misplaced them. You see how Satan works that right into your everyday life? That word lost, it scares people. We immediately come up with an analogy or something to think that away. We don't even like the word in our general life. But it's real. It's real. Being lost, being crippled, being exiled from God. He can come get you tonight, children. He'll pull right up beside you. Isn't that amazing how God said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, knowing you can't get up, you're crippled. Amen. And he tells you, he said in the spirit and the bride say, come. And he that hears say, come. Amen. Let him that come take of the water of life freely. He gives you all these invitations to come, knowing you can't come on your own because you're crippled. But he's got something that'll bridge that gap. He's got something that'll come right to you. See, children, you don't have to come. He'll come get you. He'll come get you and hold your hand all the way to salvation. Would you turn him down tonight? Stand to your feet, Brother Mike.